Zach Lawn is MAHA's great farm country hope. Is he the populist hero he claims to be? He's running for Iowa governor on promises to bust up big ag, but some farmers are questioning his authenticity. This article was produced in collaboration with Mother Jones. It may not be reproduced without express permission from Fern. If you are interested in republishing or reposting this article, please contact Email Protected. When Robert F. Kennedy Jr. jumped on Donald Trump's bandwagon in 2024, he brought with him the wellness-obsessed, vaccine-rejecting, food-label-reading Make America Healthy Again voters, who have been credited with helping Trump take back the White House. But there are signs the MAHA-MAGA alliance is wearing thin, from squabbles over inaction to a tense standoff over regulating the herbicide glyphosate. In our MAHA and the midterm series, a partnership between Mother Jones and the Food and AMP, Environment Reporting Network, we consider how MAHA is shaping the political landscape and upcoming elections. Do you fear you'll be attacked as a liberal for bringing this up? Tucker Carlson asked Iowa Republican gubernatorial candidate Zach Lawn on his podcast in February, back when Lawn was still a long shot in the state's primary race. After bonding over their love of God and distrust of the wokeism, a mental disorder. According to Lawn, the two men had gone deep on Lawn's political vision, which he admitted could sometimes make him sound like a hippie. Over the course of the interview, Lawn railed against unchecked monopolies and lambasted the Environmental Protection Agency for being captured by corporate interests and failing to acknowledge the links between the weed killer glyphosate, the active ingredient in Roundup, and cancer. For Lawn, such traditionally crunchy left populist talking points is par for the course. In ad spots, he's wandered through golden hour cornfields and promised to tax the heck out of Wall Street hedge funds. In stump speeches and podcast appearances, he's praised organic farming and called agribusiness multinationals, cartels, that have pillaged our state and need to be broken apart with antitrust litigation, a position he shares with Democratic Massachusetts Sen. Elizabeth Warren. The crowds at his events often agree. "Bust him up," someone shouted from the audience during Lawn's victory speech, shortly after he secured the Republican nomination in June. "Let's go," Lawn shouted back with a grin. Frustrated by Washington's permissive attitude toward pesticides, food additives, and a slew of other health-related threats, the Make America Healthy Again movement is flexing its political power with its own slate of midterm candidates, several of whom have gone head-to-head against longtime incumbents or candidates endorsed by President Donald Trump. So far, the group's breakout star has arguably been Lawn, one of the first candidates to be endorsed by MAHA Action, a nonprofit political organization founded by political activist and publisher Tony Leon. A sixth-generation Iowan who's never held elected office, Lawn made national headlines this summer when he dispatched Rep. Randy Feenstra in the Republican primary, even though Feenstra had years of political experience and Trump's endorsement. That makes Lawn one of the few Republicans to beat a candidate the president had backed. Now, Lawn is running about 6 points behind his Democratic opponent, Rob Sand. Lawn's campaign declined my request for an interview. Lawn has achieved this by making Iowa's political third rail the cornerstone of his campaign. As a Republican candidate in a red state that's politically defined by agriculture, he frequently criticizes the ag industry and proposes traditionally progressive reforms to the problems it's created. On the campaign trail, he presents himself as an outraged Iowa farmer and native son who doesn't even want to be a politician, as he said on the Sean Ryan Show in March, but was called by God to become one. As he tells it, agribusiness is peddling unsafe pesticides and getting away with it. Iowa's cancer rates are going up, and we all know that something is terribly wrong. These MAHA talking points are a pivotal part of Lawn's pitch. But for a long time, he was one of the last people you'd expect to believe them. He spent years working for political projects funded by the Koch family, which made some of its fortune in agribusiness and participates in the same monopolistic, polluting practices Lawn now rails against. Lawn's campaign declined our request for an interview. Perhaps he's undergone an ideological transformation. But Lawn, at his core, is an all-star major league political operative, says Austin Frerich, an expert on Iowa politics and agricultural antitrust policy, and the author of Barron's: Money, Power, and the Corruption of America's Food Industry. Some Iowa insiders suspect Lawns, simply one of the first to recognize MAHA's political power in farm country and the edge it gives him. Few politicians are willing to criticize Big Ag the way Lawn has. The agribusiness sector spent about $224 million on lobbying last year, and its spending often outpaces the defense and oil and gas industries. While MAHA's anti-vaccine activists have secured major wins under the Trump administration, the branch of the movement that's more focused on food safety has been foiled repeatedly. The nation's top pesticide regulator and its undersecretary for food safety are both former Big Ag lobbyists, and Trump signed an executive order that declared the production of glyphosate critical to the United States' national security. In June, the Supreme Court also ruled that states cannot sue Bayer, the producer of glyphosate, over its failure to warn consumers of the herbicide's alleged dangers, because federal agencies consider the product to be safe. These roadblocks have infuriated MAHA activists, who are credited with helping swing the election for Trump in the first place. What's frustrating is to have Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins saying that she's a MAHA mom, and then doing things to perpetuate the toxic agricultural system that will poison us all, says Kelly, glyphosate girl, Ryerson, a longtime advocate for regenerative farming and a leader in the MAHA movement. The machine we're up against is just so big. That machine can run roughshod over farmers, consumers, and rural communities, and Iowa is a cautionary tale of what happens when it does. We have hit a level of corporate control that we've never gone through before, says Aaron Lehman, a fifth-generation corn and soybean farmer and president of the Iowa Farmers Union. Seeds, fertilizer, and other tools of the trade are controlled by multinational companies that gouge farmers on pricing, and the state's farmland is also increasingly owned by out-of-state investors. As a result, the average farmer makes less than 15 cents on every food dollar paid by consumers. This corporate consolidation has also fueled a remarkable uptick in pollution. Iowa is one of the most heavily modified ecosystems on the planet, says Sylvia Sekai, a professor and natural resources economist at the University of Iowa. The corn and soybean industry's use of pesticides and high nitrogen fertilizers, combined with the hog industry's manure lagoons, has laced the majority of Iowans drinking water with unsafe contaminants. The state has the nation's second highest cancer rate, and it's one of only three states where that rate is increasing, a trend the Iowa Environmental Council explicitly tied to agricultural pollution in a recent report. When you live in these agricultural areas, you're living in a crisis, Frerich says, and until recently, neither party has tapped into it. Until recently, Lawn didn't appear particularly worried about Big Ag's machine. To some extent, he was closely associated with it. After going viral as a college student for challenging President Barack Obama to an Oxford-style debate at a town hall, Lawn worked in Republican politics for a few years, then was hired to direct the Montana branch of Americans for Prosperity, the Koch brothers' flagship right-wing advocacy group, in 2014. At the time, the group was waging a war of attrition against Obamacare, and Lawn urged Montana's Republican legislators to vote against the state's Medicaid expansion, then tried to run them out of office if they supported it. In the award-winning 2018 documentary Dark Money, Lawn is singled out by name as an example of just how Machiavellian the Koch's political operation can be. Americans for Prosperity was also busy campaigning for Republican candidates in Iowa who were friendly to Big Ag and corporate interests. While Lawn was not involved in the agricultural arm of the Koch's business, it is worth noting that Koch Ag and AMP Energy Solutions is one of four companies that control 75% of the nation's fertilizer market, and that farmer advocacy groups have accused it of monopolistic practices in Iowa. In 2018, Lawn co-founded a private school in Kansas with Annie Koch, the wife of Koch scion Chase Koch, who financed the project. Lawn still serves on the school's board of directors. On a personal level, Lawn and the Kochs became even more entangled. In 2020, Chase Cock and Lon got divorced from their respective wives within months of each other. Lon filed for a marriage license with Annie 11 days after his divorce finalized. The couple left Kansas and moved to the Lon family's farm in Belle Plaine, Iowa, which Lon acquired with his first wife in 2014. When exactly they moved there is a point of contention. Lon didn't register to vote in Iowa until October 2024, barely meeting the state's two-year residency requirement for gubernatorial candidates. And the Daily Beast recently reported that Lon never claimed the Belle Plaine farm as his primary residence, suggesting that he might not live in Iowa at all. Lon says he moved to the farm in 2023. Last summer, Lon met with MAHA leader Robert F. Kennedy Jr., Secretary of Health and Human Services, for the first time. He says he now considers Kennedy a friend. In July 2025, Lon's wife registered to vote in Iowa. 4 months later, Lon launched his campaign for Iowa governor from the front porch of his family's farmhouse, and his wife assured voters that her husband has the courage and grit and toughness Iowans are looking for. Today, Lon presents himself as a regenerative farmer who grows organic oats on his great-great-grandfather's homestead, some of which he's transitioning back to its native prairie habitat. "We're having this pride in our work, this pride in our land, and the health of our people," he told Carlson. Lon's campaign declined to answer Mother Jones questions about Lon's role in the farm's day-to-day operations. Lon says Iowa's agricultural pollution crisis is personal for him. His father was diagnosed with cancer after working for decades as a crop consultant. He's now in remission. "Iowans are going to funerals for people dying at 60 whose parents lived to be 80, Lon said in his primary victory speech in June. "We have to find out what Big Ag and Big Pharma knew about the safety of their products and when they knew it." If elected governor, he has promised to fight laws that shield agribusinesses from liability and implement programs that will help Iowa transition toward greener farming practices. It's hard to overstate how much of a departure this is from typical Iowa Republican rhetoric. But the political winds are changing, and Lon has received his fair share of support. In notable contrast with his Republican primary opponent, Feenstra, and the Democrat he's now running against, Lon did not fund his primary campaign with six- or seven-figure donations from Big Ag. He made a roughly $2.5 million donation to himself, and MAHA's burgeoning political machine helped fill in some of the gaps. Serdar Biglari, CEO of Stake, Enshake, and a vocal MAHA acolyte, donated $25,000 to Lon's campaign earlier this year, and the political advocacy group MAHA PAC has initiated hundreds of thousands of get out the vote calls and texts on his behalf. Lon hopes to capture a precious and politically volatile slice of the voter pool. MAHA voters may be among the only remaining swing voters in the country. "We know that we're valuable," says Ryerson, the MAHA activist. "Democrats, of course, would love to get these swing voters, too. You know, some of Lon's positions are not very different from mine," says Chris Jones, a retired water scientist and Democrat running to be Iowa's next Secretary of Agriculture. Jones has spent decades fighting Big Ag's pollution of Iowa drinking water, and among Iowa Democratic candidates, he and his politics are to the party's left. Some party insiders are concerned that more centrist Democrats could cede agricultural pollution as a wedge issue to the GOP. The Democrats' moderate candidate for governor, Sand, has also pledged to hold Big Ag accountable for its pollution. His wife is also the scion of a major agribusiness corporation, and she and her family poured over $11 million into his primary campaign. But when it comes to attacking Lon, Democrats still have plenty to work with. Much of Lon's Iowa First rhetoric revolves around restoring the state to an idealized past glory, so it's not exactly a surprise that he's paired his anti-corporate messaging with right-wing social positions, some of which might scare off moderate voters. In a nod to MAHA's anti-vaccine wing, Lon has vowed to pull mRNA COVID shots off the market and end school vaccine requirements. In ads and debates, he's promised to drive Marxists from Iowa schools and push for a life at conception law, effectively eliminating Iowa abortion access. He accepted an endorsement from former Iowa Rep. Steve King, who lost his seat in 2020 after making a slew of racist comments, including questioning why the terms white nationalist and white supremacist were offensive. Then there's Lon's portrayal of himself as an Iowa farmer. In May, the Des Moines Register reported that Lon still flies to Kansas an average of once a week. The Iowa Democratic Party has portrayed him as a Kansas carpetbagger ever since. While Lon often rails against out-of-touch, out-of-state owners of Iowa farmland, his critics note that he was one of those out-of-state landowners until recently. "It takes one to know one," says Sakai, the University of Iowa natural resources economist. For some Iowa farmers, the biggest question is whether Lon's transformation into an anti-corporate crusader is sincere, and whether he's also willing to stand up for them on issues outside MAHA's wheelhouse. In the months since Lon became the Republican nominee for governor, the party's mainstream has rallied around him. A PAC associated with the Republican Governors Association recently contributed $5 million to his campaign, and Trump endorsed him as a patriot. But Trump has not been a reliable friend to Iowa farmers, who are being crushed by tariffs and gutted by fertilizer costs, which have steadily risen as the war in Iran drags on. The Department of Government Efficiencies, cuts to USDA services, and regenerative farming initiatives were brutal. So were the One Big Beautiful Bill's cuts to Medicaid and SNAP benefits, which agricultural communities increasingly rely on. "We need a governor who will stand up for Iowa when our Iowa interests are being ignored," one soybean farmer, who asked to go unnamed, told me, including, he added, by the president. "Help us keep digging. Fern is a nonprofit and relies on the generosity of our readers. Please consider making a donation to support our work. Cancel monthly donations anytime."